Thank you, Mr. Fiok. Where's this year going? Is it just me or is it everybody? I mean, here, April is 2nd already. You know, it'll be time to go to the feast. No time at all. Well, Passover will be here in just 2.5 weeks, just after sundown on Thursday, April the 21st. And when I think of Passover, I usually think of the foot washing service that we have, think of the bread and the wine that we take, the unleavened bread that we take. I think about the suffering that Jesus Christ went through. We come here to hear those scriptures and those verses read to us. But the last thing on my mind would probably be my sins. And you know, the truth is the Passover is all about our sins. If we didn't have sins, there would be no need for the Passover, other than as a reminder of Israel coming out of Egypt. In 1 Corinthians, Paul says that we are to examine ourselves before Passover. He says, therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of Christ or of the Lord. I'm not going to go into that. I'm sure we'll hear many messages over the next few weeks about taking the Passover in a worthy manner. When I think of the trial that Jesus Christ went through, how they railroaded Him, and the crucifixion where they hung Him on the cross, the terrible suffering that He went through from the scourging, the torture that they put Him through, and He did all of that for us. He did all of that for the forgiveness of our sins. Today I want to talk about our sins. The title message is Sin, Forgiven and Forgotten. According to Strong's Concordance, the word sin, just S-I-N, is mentioned 448 times in the Bible. The word sins, I think, is mentioned in almost another 200 times. The two words, our sins, O-U-R, yours and mine, our sins is mentioned 20 times. Your sins are mentioned 33 times. Their sins, 20 times. And my sins, 4 times. So the Bible's definition of sin, let's just look at some verses here. The Bible's definition of sin. 1 John 5:17. Let's go there first. 1 John 5:17. I have several scriptures to go to today. I apologize for that, but we want to let the Bible tell the story, not me. And this is just a way of reminder. Nothing new. Everything I say today, you already know. You've heard it. But it is just a way of a reminder. 1 John 5:17 just simply says, all unrighteousness is sin. So there's one definition right there. All unrighteousness. Now, Psalms 119:172 says that all God's commandments are righteousness. Let's go to Romans 14:23. Romans 14. Another definition, Romans 14:23 says, but he who doubts is condemned if he eats because he does not eat it from faith. Then it goes on to say, whatever is not from faith is sin. Another definition. We have a couple more to look at. James 4:17. James 4:17. James 4:17 says, therefore, to him who knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. So when we know that we're to do something, the Bible tells us hundreds of things that we are to do. If we know to do what's good and we don't do it, then that is sin. Now, the very first scripture we usually think of when we want a definition of sin, one that Mr. Armstrong put in our minds years and years ago, we used to hear it often, is 1 John 3:4. So let's just go look at that. 1 John 3:4. You can all say it right with me. 1 John 3:4. You all know it from your hearts. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, for sin is lawlessness. And as the old King James says, sin is the transgression of the law. And Mr. Armstrong used to talk about that all the time, about the law, the Ten Commandments, and how if we break them, we are sinning. And he would tell us about how the world, their definition of sin was completely different. You know, their sin was maybe dancing, or drinking beer, or playing cards, and things like that. Only one person never sinned. Only one. And out of the perhaps 50 billion people that's lived on this earth since the time of Adam, only one never sinned, and that is Jesus Christ. Now, that's mentioned in more than one place in the Bible. We won't go to it, but Hebrews 4:15 tells us that he never sinned. Other than that, other than Jesus Christ, we are all sinners. I want to look at, we're in 1 John now. Let's go to 1 John 1. And I'm going to look at verse 10 here. 1 John 1:10 says, if we say that we have not sinned, which I don't think anybody in this room would say that, but if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and that his word is not in us. How is that we make him a liar? Well, let's look at a few verses here. Go back to Ecclesiastes. We'll start there. Ecclesiastes 7. Ecclesiastes, right after Proverbs. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 20. Here God inspired Solomon to write, for there is not a just man on earth who does good and does not sin. This is talking about a just man. And I believe everyone in here is just. It says that there is not a just man who does good and does not sin. Let's go back to 1 Kings 8. Solomon is praying a prayer here. And if you haven't read it for a while, it would be interesting to go back and just read all that he's saying. He continually says to God, here in heaven, your dwelling place, and says to answer, hear God, hear the prayers of your people and answer them. But down here in verse 46, it says, when they sin against you, and it goes on to say, for there is no one who does not sin. So here is Solomon again being inspired by God to tell us that there is no one who does not sin. Although one of the ones that we all remember and probably one of the first ones that we would go to is in Romans 3. one of our memory scriptures again, Romans 3 and verse 23 from the New Testament. God says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." So we're all sinners, every one of us. Now the Bible talks about unintentional sins. Now those are sins that we commit that we're not aware of. And this can happen. And as soon as we become aware of them, then we need to repent and go to God for forgiveness. There's presumptuous sins. These sins are sins that we are aware of, but you know, we don't care. We just go ahead and do them. David talked about the sins of his youth. He prayed and asked God to not remember them. And to be honest with you, I wish I didn't remember some of the sins of my youth. I wouldn't want you sitting here to know some of the sins that I've done. And perhaps some of you feel the same way too, that you've got some sins that you wouldn't want the person sitting next to you to know about. Then there's one other sin. It's the unpardonable sin. And Christ told, I think it was the scribes and the Pharisees, that he who blasphemes the Holy Spirit is in danger of committing the unpardonable sin. There's no forgiveness for that. So now the remedy for all this, well, the penalty for sin first is the wages of sin is death. That's Romans 6:23. It's a verse that we also know. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ. Let's go to James 1:15 and look what James has to say. We're talking about the penalty now for our sins. James 1:15. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. This is talking about our lust in that. And sin, when it is full grown, it brings death. Now Adam was the first one to sin physically. We know Satan is actually the father of all sins. He's the first one to sin. But Adam sinned. God told him there's two trees in the garden, and if you take of the one particular tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it says, in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. Now that was a physical death. But sin also brings about eternal death, if not repented of. Romans 5:12 also tells us, Romans 5 and verse 12, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, through Adam, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all have sinned. There again, the penalty for our sins is death. And if we don't repent of them, it could be eternal death. Now, the remedy of our sins. Let's go to 1 John 2. And we'll read about the forgiveness of our sins. 1 John 2. And verse 2, 1 John 2 and verse 2. And he himself, talking about Jesus Christ, is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the whole world. So eventually, we know that there's going to come a time when all the world will understand the truth, their minds are going to be opened as our minds are open now. And then they will have an opportunity to come under the blood of Jesus Christ and to have eternal life. Now this word propitiation, it literally means the turning away of wrath by an offering. So the wrath is eternal death, and the offering was Jesus Christ, who came willingly, took all the sins of all the world, put them on Him, and then, as I mentioned before about the crucifixion and the scourging and all of that, He took away our sins. 1 John 1, back to 1 John, we're in 1 John here. We'll go back to chapter 1. We read verse 10 before, but now let's go to verse 7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, listen, it would be not if we walk in the knowledge of the truth, the understanding, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ and His Son, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, God the Father's Son, cleanses us from all sins. We're in 1 John, over page to 3 and verse 5. 1 John 3 and verse 5. And then you know that He was manifested, that He emptied Himself from being a spirit being, emptied Himself from being God, and came to this earth as a man. One of His own creation, He became. He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him there is no sin. Like I said, there are several verses that tell us that Jesus Christ has never sinned, and He is the only one. Proverbs 28, back in the Old Testament, Proverbs 28. Proverbs 28 and verse 13 says, He who covers his sins will not prosper. So if we try to hide our sins and think that God doesn't know them, if we try to do that, we're just being foolish. He says that he who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. So not only do we repent of our sins, which we must do, but we are to confess them before God. Even those sins of our youth, those sins that we don't even want to think about, sins that are so perhaps wicked, you know, we don't even want to admit them to ourselves, but you know what they are. You need to confess those to God, and it will make you closer to God. This will make you have a real close relationship to God, to be able to tell Him your inner feelings and yourself, because He knows anyhow. There's nothing that He doesn't know about you. He knows more about you and me than we know ourselves. Hebrews 1:3. Look at that. Hebrews 1:3. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. Well, it says in verse 1, God, who at various times and in different ways spoke to us in time past to the fathers by the prophets. And we know that back in, you know, the Old Testament, God spoke to the people through the prophets. But in these last days, He's spoken to us by His Son. And that is through this Word, the Bible. The Bible is the Word of God, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom He also made the worlds, who being in the brightness of His glory, an express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, then Christ sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, or the Father. So Christ is right now with the Father. He's sitting on His throne. First Corinthians 15:3. I wanted to bring out in these verses that we were reading that every one of them has other than one. Proverbs 28. They all have the two words that I mentioned at the beginning, are sins in them. 1 Corinthians 15:3 says, "For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ, He died for our sins, according to the Scriptures." Passover is coming up. We really need to consider the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and we need to think about our sins. We need to think about the forgiveness. How awesome that truly is. You know, it is unimaginable. It's just a great and awesome blessing that God pours out on His people, especially now, the first fruits. Everyone else will get it eventually, but right now it's to the first fruits. And that is His church, the saints, you and I. Now let's look at some things that God does with our sins. What's He do when we repent and we ask for forgiveness? What's He do? Isaiah 36. I got about four or five of these I want to look at. Isaiah 38. Isaiah 38. Isaiah 38 and verse 17. What does God do with our sins? "Indeed, it was for my own peace that I had great bitterness. But you, God, have lovingly delivered my soul from the pit of corruption. You have cast all my sins behind your back." In other words, He can't see them. They're behind Him. He doesn't see them anymore. The translation from the Message Bible says, "It seems it was good for me to go through all those troubles. Throughout them all, you held tight to my lifeline. You never let me tumble over the edge into nothing, but my sins you let go of, threw them over your shoulder, good riddance." I kind of like that. I thought that's so true. Psalms 103, verse 12. Verse 11 says, "For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy towards those who fear Him." How high is heaven above the earth? Well, perhaps infinite. I don't know. There's a measurement to it. I kind of doubt it. I think it just goes on and on. "And as far as east is from the west, so far as He removed our sins and our transgressions from us." As far as east is from the west. Now, if you leave here and you go east, you're always going east. You never meet west. There's no meeting of it. It's just continually. It is also infinite. Now, He had to use east and west because if He would have said as far as north is from south, well, there's a distance to that. If you go north, you're going to come to the top. And what's going to happen? You're going to go south. So He couldn't use the phrase north and south. It had to be east and west. And as far as He removes our sins, it's infinite. That's how far He removes them. Let's go to Isaiah 1:18. Isaiah 1. Verse 18. Come now, let us reason together. Isn't it nice if we can reason with God? You know, if we have a problem, you know, we can go to God and we can reason with Him. He says, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they're red. They shall be as white as snow. And we know the white just means pure. You know, we're going to wear white garments when Christ returns, showing our righteousness. White is a symbol of righteousness. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. What a wonderful blessing that is. We're in Isaiah. Go over to Isaiah 43. What does God do with our sins? Isaiah 43:25. Isaiah 43:25. God says, I am He who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. I wish I didn't remember my sins. It would be so nice if they were gone completely. I believe someday they will be. I believe once we're changed from spirit, from flesh to spirit, then all the former things will be gone away. I don't believe we'll have those sins in our minds anymore. This Message Bible again says about this verse says, but I am the one who takes care of your sins. That's what I do. I don't keep a list of your sins. I'm happy about that. That's good. In Jeremiah 31, verse 34, Jeremiah 31, and verse 34, says, no more shall every man teach his neighbor, know the Lord. I remember years ago, people would have signs in their front yard, know the Lord. And sometimes you'd be driving along and you'd see somebody paint on a bridge somewhere, know the Lord. Well, it says here, no more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. And I will forgive their sins, their iniquity, and their sins I will remember no more. I just have one more in Micah. The book of Micah. Micah 7, verse 19. Micah 7, that's about five books back from Matthew. Anyhow, Micah 7, verse 19 says, He will again have compassion on us and subdue our iniquities, or He'll subdue our sins. He will cast all our sins into the depth of the sea. The Message Bible again says, and compassion is on its way to us. You stamp out all of our wrongdoing. You sink our sins to the bottom of the ocean. Years ago, they used to talk about if you had problems, this would be maybe like in some help, self-help type books, but some help would be to, if you had problems, they would say, take your problems and put them in a sack, put them in a bag, and tie a rock around them and go to a bridge and throw them off the bridge and let them go down into the water, just to get rid of them. I don't know if that works or not, but that was some of the advice that was given. We looked at a lot of scriptures today about sin. Passover is all about sin. We need to think about it. We need to realize we are sinners. We'll probably sin right up until the time that Christ returns. And the most comforting thought in all this is our sins have been forgiven. We need to praise God and Jesus Christ for all that. So brethren, have an encouraging, joyful, and meaningful Passover.